All right, everybody. So welcome to this new spinoff of the vodcast called, what are we calling this? The Vod Theories?
Yeah, Vod Theories.
Till we come up with a better name. I'm Jacepticeye, and I have, who do I have with me today?
Got Josh, Jurassic Fett on Instagram.
And I am Fett for real.
And today we're discussing, what, chapter 12, I believe? The Siege? How many times have you guys seen it already?
About two times. I basically skimmed it more so on my second viewing, but yeah, just twice.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it, it's been two and a half. Watched it in the morning with myself, and then at night with the family, and in between there, I kind of skimmed around looking at different Easter eggs, if you will, you know.
So what times do you guys generally catch the episode? I'm trying to find out a safe time to post spoilers, but, you know, it's tough getting a gauge of a safe time. What time do you guys watch it when the episode airs?
Really depends. You know, sometimes I might stay up till 3 a.m. to watch it, or just right when I wake up in the morning. So it really depends.
Well, some nights, some people can't keep their mouths shut on a group chat. And I happen to look at group chat when I have to wake up and go to the bathroom, or, you know, I hear some craziness outside. And then I'm like, well, I'm up. It's time to check it out. And that's happened twice. So 50% of the time works every time. If not, I wake up in the
nice,
morning.
Anchorman reference there.
Yeah. I wake up at about, you know, 6:30, 6 o'clock. And depending on if I just wake up naturally or my alarm goes off, and then I watch it kind of like while I'm eating breakfast.
Yeah, that's the same thing I do. I usually generally get up about 6 a.m. This past week, I actually waited till I got to work and just watched it on my break. But I mean, for the most part, I feel like my phone's lit up, and the hour or two before I get to work Friday mornings, if I haven't watched it, I mean, I don't go on my phone. So I don't know, you know, why so many people can't help themselves. Like, what would be on Instagram at 7 in the morning after a new episode airs that, you know, somebody would need to go on Instagram for? I'm just trying to find out.
I think they just can't help themselves. And then they want to complain about it because that's what a lot of people do. They just like to complain about stuff because that's the way people are.
Yeah, right? We live in a new age now. And it's like, right, you know, if you are worried about spoilers, just don't go on social media at all, you know, until you watch the show. Or at least on any of the fan pages, or you know, anything along those lines.
Why would you go online? But hey, people have their reasons, I guess. I mean, I guess the foreign people, they say don't air. So to them, I kind of feel for them. But again, you know, it's tough to feel bad when you have so many people waiting up till 3 a.m. to watch a show, and then, you know, people complain when you're like, the episode's been only up for 3 days. Why are you posting spoilers? Oh, well. So this was the Carl Weathers directed episode. What'd you think about is this his directorial debut, or did he do something else before?
I believe that is his debut. Yeah. I don't remember that at all from season one, no.
He's been on a bunch of shows, right? I'm sure he probably directed an episode or two. I'm not too familiar with him outside the movies, but.
So if you, you have the internet, you can actually
that's why you're on
this
here
thing called the IMDb, and he has directed several things, actually. This is his first episode of The Mandalorian. He's directed one episode of Hawaii Five-O, which I used to watch, and then there's several other things of note, nothing that I'm familiar with except for Hawaii Five-O.
I mean, it seems like he got a pretty nice budget for this episode, right? I mean, everything was shot pretty nice, actually. No, except the, what is it? The one guy hiding behind the wall?
The one guy hiding behind the wall, maybe they should have CGI'd him out and they just didn't catch it.
I honestly hope that they leave that, because that's going to be something that's going to go for generations. You know, people are going to talk about that. They're going to cosplay that. You know, right. It's going to be,
I mean, for Star Wars, this is like the biggest flub on screen.
Oh yeah,
right?
Or, absolutely.
Like I can't think of anything worse. I mean, besides Game of Thrones had the Starbucks,
right?
Cup.
Mm-hmm.
The what?
Besides the sequels themselves, right? I'm just kidding.
That's the other show. So the episode starts, and he's back in Navarre. It's nice to see, I guess, the armorer did get away after they freed the planet from the Imperials. So that settles that question with her, right?
I'm going to let Josh talk on this one. Let's see what he thinks.
You think she took all the armor with her?
No, it's possible. I mean, I honestly do believe that the that Paz Vizsla is still out there, and maybe she or he came back, and they both met up and got off the planet. I would like to see Paz Vizsla again. I think that he was a very original, interesting character. I do believe that that's where the armorer would have went. I don't think she would have left alone. Maybe she thought that there was too much going on in Navarro now, too much attention maybe. You know, word spreads fast.
Now, was that last episode where he had asked somebody if they knew where people from his clan went? I'm not sure if it was last episode or maybe two ago. Do you remember that? Like he casually asked somebody.
He did mention that he wants to try and find the Mandalorian covert that he was part of. Yeah, he did.
Right.
He said he's trying to find the Mandalorian network, quote unquote, so that he can track them down. And I do think that they got away. I was just seeing where Josh went with it. You know, I think that we definitely need to see Paz, especially because we just made a cool pin. Right.
We definitely need to see him.
But yeah, I figured they must have. She was gathering all the armor in the last episode. Mm-hmm. Like, I think she gathered what was Beskar. If not everything was Beskar, we still aren't really clear on the whole material and how it's like, if there's like different grades of it, and then why is Din's not denting at all, where, you know, his old armor was all dented up. So kind of curious, right, if there's like, you know, 50% Beskar, it's like an alloy, and then there's like 100% Beskar and it's like super tough kind of thing. So that's kind of
right, because the guys in his covert all had dented armors, right?
I mean, at least if there weren't dents, there were definitely scratches from the paint. But honestly,
right. And then Bo-Katan comes with her crew and not a dent on hers.
Nope. Hers did have metal visible, though, like you were saying, like scratched off paint. So maybe hers is like 100%. And then, you know, you get the stuff that's like, we had to mix in 50% Beskar with 50% whatever Dura steel, and, you know, it dents, but it'll protect you from most everything except for like a lightsaber or something, right?
I mean, do the Imperials have different grades of armor? Do Death Troopers have the same as TKs?
Have what the plasteel. I don't think they would have that. Right. I don't think that the Dark Troopers would have that.
So here's the thing with that, like your question, and it's kind of cool to me. In the books, like I was talking to you about the other day, Josh, the Karen Travis books, the Republic Troopers, Commandos, you know, the Commandos had like a ceramic based kind of like armor that was stronger than the regular armor that the Duraplast. So like they literally could take a lightsaber to the armor and it wouldn't hold up forever, but it was kind of like, remember like in the, when they would stick their lightsaber in something and it would slowly melt, you know, and then some other things, it would just like cut right through it. It wouldn't even melt. Like it would be like, it would deflect it. And it was like in the third book, I want to say like one of the Omega Squad or Delta Squad, I don't remember which one, I guess it's Delta, right? They were protecting a Jedi from someone, or they were blocking a lightsaber, and it melt through it, and it was like his arm or something. So yeah, I mean, it's possible that they've made something that's strong as Beskar that's not Beskar, but not 100% as strong, you know, kind of thing.
Right, because I mean, if you're a foundling and you get your first set of armor, I mean, you can't just go straight to Beskar, right? I mean, there's got to be something.
I mean, the way I look at it, it's almost like, you know, in the real world, you know, we have different grades of body armor, you know, different ballistic plates, you know. I feel like, you know, Beskar might be one of the best, but, you know, I'm sure that not everyone, you know, especially like, for example, you know, the Purge, you know, since it's such a rare material, why would you go through all of your Beskar whenever you could use something that's, you know, maybe not as good as Beskar, but, you know, just to not deplete all of your resources. You know, I feel like that would be kind of stupid, the fact that, you know, a lot of these Mandalorians, they're out there, you know, or Din Djarin, like, if he just destroyed his Beskar from the get-go, well, that would have been not so good.
That also makes me wonder, would the Beskar armor have that circuitry that they showed in the second chapter? Like, what was that about?
Done.
Okay. Yeah.
was a cool scene, it's like, get some more, you know, explanation on that. You know?
Hopefully we'll get like a Pablo Hidalgo book where, you know, we get like the breakdown of like the internals. Like, I want to say it's Chris Travas who does the artwork for all that, right? Like the schematics and like breakdowns. So maybe, you know, we'll get like a encyclopedia for the Mandalorian and they'll explain, you know, all of this. But I mean, until then, maybe they're going to listen and they're like, oh, that's a good idea. And we can roll with that. Chris, if you're listening.
Well, I think we finally have a date for the visual art guide. So maybe
that's exactly what I'm talking about, right?
We'll probably get a page or two on that. I hope so. So the Vodcast reviewed the episode. So, I mean, we don't really need to delve into that. So let's just get into the good stuff. So, cloning, what do you think? So we basically watched the whole episode, and at the end, it turns out they found, what is it, the Bacta tanks with
I don't know if it was
things in there, or what are they called, cloning tubes? I mean, what's the technical
term? I would just say it's some kind of a tank, but I don't think it's a Bacta tank necessarily. Yeah. But I think Dom mentioned before that he may have heard a familiar score play whenever we saw the shot of the clone inside of the tank. Is that right, Dom?
Do tell, Dom.
Yeah, the music in the background was kind of like very reminiscent of Snoke's theme song, if you will, from
Force Awakens.
So I know a few people have pointed that out on YouTube and stuff. And, you know, those things are called clone tanks. You would have saw them in a really cool video game back in the day. You might have played, it's called The Force Unleashed, where they cloned a whole bunch of Galen Merricks.
I don't know, EU. Is that canon?
It's not canon as of right now. unless they do something.
My brain can only
unless they do some retcon and add it back. But it's so conflicted with what we know as canon, they can't really. I don't see it unless they do something and use it now, and you know, kind of like have like a secret apprentice that didn't happen or did happen, but they just didn't work out, kind of thing. It'd be interesting.
Yeah. Do you think there's time to shoehorn in another secret apprentice, or do you think it's just too much right now?
That'd be a good idea.
It really depends on how they handle the whole universe, because supposedly, you know, they're gonna retcon the sequels, right? I don't know how they will do it, but there's supposed to be new cuts and who knows. But the clones, they didn't look like ginormous or anything, right? Like, to me, those clones were test subjects for whatever they were doing with Snoke, because we know Snoke was a clone, or at least a manufactured entity that Palpatine made and was his. It was like his puppet, right, for Kylo. He wasn't always a puppet, apparently, though. He was supposedly, like, Palpatine could inhabit it, but it was also sentient, where he could operate on his own. So it's pretty interesting that they might have, you know, had Snoke version 1 or whatever was going on in those tanks that was looking like failures. So back in the EU, if you will call it, they had problems when they would try and clone Force-sensitive beings. So I don't know if that's what they're doing here, or if they're just messing around trying to create Snoke, or if they're trying to clone Palpatine and, you know, they're just failing because he's a force sensitive and it just doesn't work.
That was a good way to bring back the threat of them trying to find the child. The scientist said they're out of, you know, his M count. What'd you think about the new hip term, M count?
I think they were just trying to not say midichlorians, right?
So to keep it clear, what they were trying to do with the M count of the child is completely a separate project than what Gideon was doing with where he was, right?
My guess is, based on the audio description saying that those were dark troopers, that we're going to go with the dark trooper theme from the past, and that they're droids, right? And that they're cyborg completely, or they're cyborgs, right? I don't know. So if they're cyborgs and their body's inside of it, and they might have tried to do something with, you know, those clones, maybe the clones are the dark troopers and they're semi-force sensitive or whatever. Who knows? They had a whole bunch of different force sensitives, right? Like they had all the Inquisitors that were running around, mm-hmm. and we know those got killed. So did they harvest their bodies? I don't know. It's something to think about. And then they mentioned that they had a volunteer. Who's the volunteer?
My honest opinion, I think they're going to be used as droids. Now I know that the phase one and the old expanded universe was supposed to be droid. Maybe we might see the exoskeleton or like, you know, Fallout power armor esque kind of suit later on. Maybe it doesn't look like it is right now. It doesn't look like it's geared for that. So I feel like they're going to be droids.
Yeah. I think they're slapping Chris Bartlett into one of those things and he's going to run around just like he did in the jailbreak episode.
Yeah, you know, Q90. Like, I love that
really
character.
Cool looking badass droid that kills everybody. Maybe kidnaps the child. Who knows? But yeah, I think it's going to be a droid. Either way, I think Chris Bartlett's getting stuck in one of those things because he's small.
Well, I mean, that's good. We're finally seeing a new, you know, a threat, right? I mean, stormtroopers have been pretty much a joke this entire series, even before, but more so in this series, right?
Oh, yeah.
None of the heroes ever felt like they were in threat from them, but I guess with these dark troopers coming up, do you feel like Din is collecting a Magnificent Seven type of cast to eventually bring them all back later?
Absolutely.
Do you feel that,
I think you made a great point on that a while ago, and I don't know if we're ready to dive into it just yet, but I think that the fact, you know, we've met Cobb Vanth, we've met Bo-Katan and the other Mandalorians, we've already got Greef Karga, we've got Cara Dune. Yeah, absolutely. I think we're going to get that Magnificent Seven-esque group forming, at least maybe by the end of the show, or at least by the end of season two. Absolutely.
Well, yeah, we're definitely building towards that. I mean, we still have a few people that were announced for season two we haven't seen yet,
mm-hmm.
right? So I'm sure that's a slow build, you know, as we go through his Adventures of the Week. I mean, it's nice to get back to Gideon being the main villain. I feel like since the season started, you know, Boba Fett came in, all these other characters have come in, but they're finally getting back to the Gideon versus Din story. They're world building, but we're getting back to what the main story is.
I agree.
So I'm wondering what the whole deal is with them. Like, it seems like they have history, but like based on timeline, like where, you know, how old Din supposedly is based on, you know, events that we know happened and when they happened, like it doesn't seem like they would have fought during like the Mandalorian War and stuff, you know? So like what history do they have and how does he know who he is? Right. So like they brought that up, they kind of teased it and then completely haven't talked really about it. So there's something out there, and it seemed like, you know, obviously Bo-Katan had some sort of history. Obviously, he has her lightsaber. Maybe her lightsaber.
Dark saber.
I don't know if you consider it hers. Like, she didn't win it.
Right.
She was gifted it.
Right, for a warrior race who followed the leader, I mean, she was basically just handed it.
Yeah, I was a little thrown off on that. Like, Here you go. You're our rightful leader.
But when Gideon was talking to Din, like, there seemed like there was history there, right?
Totally.
Like,
yeah.
It wasn't just Din was a kid or just some random Mando at the time. Like, he knew who he was.
Right.
It's tough to find how things can add up right now, just judging on, you know, what we can speculate on age and time and whatnot. But I definitely hope we can finally get to it. Probably won't be the next episode,
no,
right?
I mean, no, I think they're gonna hold that out until the last episode, maybe, and then, you know, cliffhanger. Wait till next season. Maybe you'll find out then. You know, the Vader is Luke's father thing in ESB. You know, like they're like, yeah, I'm your father, and then he just, you know, freaks out and then runs away, right? So find out in the next season of The Mandalorian. Why Gideon is Din's uncle or something. I don't know.
And I think as far as theories go, we're done with everything they've showed in the trailers,
I believe,
right?
At this point, everything from this point on is going to be new material.
Is that officially confirmed that Filoni is directing? Is that the last thing we can theorize on, that chapter 13 is Filoni's episode?
Supposedly is, right? IMDb and everything says that he's the director of the next episode, and like everybody's, you know, on the edge of their seat. Are we going to see Ahsoka? Even though the episode's titled "The Jedi" or whatever, right? And
right. Supposedly, that's what everybody's
right. And as we know, she will tell you she's no Jedi, right?
Right.
Unless that's changed kind of over time.
Right. Yeah, and that's another thing. Did she? You know, once the order was kaput and Luke's taken over, I'm sure she's gotta have met Luke by now, right? Like, she was a key person in the resistance and he joined the rebellion, excuse me. Don't want to mix up eras, but man, you would think that they would have crossed paths. Like, the rebellion didn't advertise Luke, you know, as like being a Jedi. They advertised him as being that farm boy, right? So I don't know. I feel like Leia would have been like, hey, you two should meet.
Haldo was there somewhere, is like just having dinner with Ahsoka and Leia. He's like, hey, I got this brother. He's got this laser sword.
Well, at this point in time, if Ahsoka's still alive, Luke's trained Leia to the point where she's like, can't do this, had that dream. It's right. Just not gonna work out. So
What was Ahsoka's last appearance? Was her force powers turned off so she couldn't be sensed, or
she left her lightsabers on the ground? That was the Clone Wars, and then she went to Rebels, got new lightsabers, you know, and then her and Sabine took off to go find Ezra, right?
Yep.
And you know,
right.
Being I look exactly like Ezra Bridger without blue eyes, I connect with him, and I'm like, where did they go? Did they go out into the unknown regions, aka the chaos, to find Ezra? And if she's in the quote unquote known regions now, have they found him? And, you know, are we going to see Sabine Wren?
You know what I like about the loose connectivity? We need a story from Rex's point of view. I mean, this guy was
everywhere,
Ender, right?
He's like R2-D2, man.
Yeah, he is, actually. So I wouldn't mind a story from his point of view. I mean, he was with Luke on the Endor mission now, right? If we're to believe.
Yeah, he was what, like 72 years old?
So.
No, he was.
Yeah, just, you know.
He was what, kicking. 35?
Like
what, 72?
Years?
Yeah. Yeah, if you double the age.
Mm-hmm.
And did he go off with Ahsoka and Sabine at the end of Rebels? I thought he did.
No, end of the show, it was just Sabine walking to Ahsoka's ship, and you know, so Ahsoka had the staff, and it was all kind of Gandalf the White kind of deal.
I mean, Ahsoka's as good as it gets for being on Next Wing. So, do we see Sabine too?
It's a possibility. Should, right? I wouldn't rule it out entirely just yet.
I'm just curious what kind of a color scheme they'll give her for this show. I mean, you can't go with the early Rebels.
Yeah, I think she's matured a bit. Maybe it's going to be a little bit less, you know, teenage Rebel-esque.
The prologue one was pretty good. What was it, like a dark purple?
Yeah, yeah, that could make sense.
You think so? You don't think it'll be Clan Ren-esque, like her mom's armor or her brother's armor, you know?
I would dig that.
I mean, they're grays, kind of like you know, just muted gray color, and they got the, is it an owl?
Yeah, I thought it's some sort of owl looking
crest on their head, and then they got the kind of the feathers around the back of the helmet, kind of like wings.
Was that you saying she?
Yeah, I did. She did it to her brother's armor in the Rebels show. He ended up having, you know, his yellow and gray armor, and then on the one shoulder it had some Sabine paint job. So it's totally feasible that she's gonna, you know, hook him up.
I mean, she gave a TIE fighter a complete paint job, right? I'm sure she can do Din's armor in her sleep. Next week's is definitely going to be fun. Is there any go backs you guys want to get to?
A possible theory of where this might be going. So, we already know that there was the spy that placed the tracker onto the Razor Crest, in which he contacted Moff Gideon. So now. Mm-hmm. We also know that the scientist, Dr. Pershing, from chapter 1, chapter 3, you know, he made the appearance again in this episode. He needs a force-sensitive donor. That is actually large enough, and we're going to assume that he needs a donor that actually can give enough blood to support these clones, because as he stated, the child, you can only get a minimum amount of blood from him just because he's so small without killing him. So my thought, Mando is going to go see Ahsoka.
Or try to, at least.
Yes. So keep that in mind. The Razor Crest is being tracked. Moff Gideon is now going to pursue Mando, leading us up to Ahsoka. And maybe she's with other Force users, which could be good for supplying the high MC count that they need.
Leading.
And I don't disagree, but I'm curious what they're trying to do.
All right, I mean, out to the Jedi.
Here you go. He's your
problem. We go through where... You know, he just finds a way to leave the child somewhere. I mean, this is how many episodes in, and I don't know. I chuckled when Grief, you know, he's like, hey, since you're here, why don't you help us with something? And it's almost, he just leaves the child with a babysitter to go off on his side quest, and it's like, how endgame?
I think, like, as we were mentioning earlier with the whole Magnificent Seven group, you know, Avengers, I guess you could say, I think that is going to create this large group of people that they're going to have to go after, maybe Ahsoka, maybe another Force user. Possible.
Fit a nice
absolutely
crew of people, right?
Yep, so, throw them in the cargo hold.
You know, it's not exactly a small ship. Yeah, for something. So, Dom, anything you want to go back on before?
Josh was just mentioning gathering the blood whatever material from the Force using entities. They tried this before with Grievous. They had tried to harvest Sifo Dyas's blood, give Grievous a blood transfusion. It didn't do anything. It didn't make him Force sensitive. So I'm wondering why, after, you know, Palpatine failed already, why they would bother, or if they've gotten something, some new technology, and they figured it out. I don't know. So, you know, it's possible that they're trying to infuse Force powers into non-Force users, you know. Maybe old Gideon is looking to do it to himself, you know.
Sounds like some Compound V shit from The Boys.
What's the deal with his armor, you know, kind of thing? Like, is it holding them together? Is he kind of like Vader, where he's like been hurt and he's wearing this armor to keep him together? It's like life support type thing, or
yes.
Right? Maybe she like stabbed him in the chest, but he like ended up beating her and ran off with the Darksaber, and he's got that chest plate holding them together.
Has Carlo ever had an action scene? I mean, he's the same type of villain and everything.
Right? I know that he shot the tank or like the gas tank or whatever next to him.
Right, right. So, but how do you think he'd fare?
He seems calculating. I feel like he'd have that approach. He'd have that skill. I could see that.
So I'm just about to say he was actually in this one TV show. I watched it for a little while. Didn't follow it for a long time, and I'm trying to remember what it's called. But it was kind of like a post-apocalyptic type show, and he was in scenes in there, right? He might have some with Din, whoever's under the mask at the time. So it should be interesting.
A dark saber,
exactly,
and
right?
Have some sort of, you know, memorable action scene. Like you don't fence with that, right? Like we're not gonna get an episode 4 type of duel with a dark saber involved.
I think maybe he's trying to, you know, get them. If he is trying to, you know, get that force power, maybe it's gonna help him to, you know, defeat whoever he is fighting with the dark saber. Because, you know, normally you don't have to fight dark saber versus anybody but Mandalorians or Jedi, because those are the two targets for fighting somebody with a lightsaber.
Right. So, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility that he wants to use it for himself, right? I mean, right now he's under the whole long live the Empire, but you know, he is Imperial at the
end. It could just be a trophy in a sense to him, you know, that he, you know, in his mission to, you know, on Mandalore for the Purge, you know, that could have been a trophy in his eye.
To it, he just happened to have it cut himself out because it's a neat tool, right?
Exactly.
A case like Ron and Maul did, Galaxy's Edge. I mean, is it? I think that's all right. We've touched on all the subjects.
You just brought up Thrawn, and then you know, kind of left him be. We'll talk about him later.
Use that as a hook for the next one, but I mean, I think this next episode there should be a lot of good
absolutely
chatter we can have with this next one. So I'm looking forward to Friday at 3 a.m.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Maybe I might be up. If I stay up and even wake up and watch that episode and it's quote unquote filler and we get nothing, I'm going to be super disappointed.
See, I don't think they're going to waste Dave Filoni like that. If it is Dave Filoni.
Yeah, it's like, surprise, it's not Dave Filoni. Right. It was actually his nephew.
Cue the Spaceballs quote.
Oh, well. All right, so, hey, Josh.
Yeah, go ahead and check me out on Instagram at Jurassic Fett.
I'm also on the Instagram. The Facebook, Fett for Reals,
the Facebook.
1313 Facebook. Studios. I do some painting once in a while, I guess.
Actually, from both of you, you have seen a thing or two. But yeah, be sure to give us a follow. We're going to try to have a nice schedule with these kind of episodes. I think it's a lot of fun.